Glory, glory, glory.
Matthew 28, this section 5, right? Faith and healing, Matthew 28. Okay. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Say, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Hallelujah. So we're done looking at the word. Matitio, right? Make place to make students of the world, right? It means applies making students of the world. And we saw that everyone in Christianity, once a man gets saved, everyone, no matter your class in the economy or who you are in the economy, you are making students. So when it says go make disciples, it means go make apprentices, go make students, go make scholars, go raise men. Hallelujah. Go raise men. Hallelujah. It now says teaching them. You raise them by teaching. Hallelujah. You raise them by teaching. You raise men by teaching. So discipleship is carried out by teaching. Hallelujah. The teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am is with you. Right? Right? I am is with you even to the end of the age. I was started looking at that word I am. So that word I am is a proper name. It's a proper name. It's a name reserved for God. God alone. God alone. The name reserved for God alone. So whenever Jesus says I am, he is referring to himself as the God of the scriptures, the God of the 39 books. Are you following me? He is, Jesus is God. You know how? Jesus is God. So that becomes the how should I put it now? Okay. So when Jesus says I am, it then means that, okay, he is God of the Bible, the God of the Old Testament books. Glory to God. Say, I am is with you. And in the course of this teaching, we are looking at some of the characteristics, or one of the characteristics of the I am, right? One of the characteristics of the I am of the Old Testament books, which is, we looked at Exodus 15:26.
It is. And said, if you diligently heed my voice, heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandment, and keep his statutes, I will put one of the diseases on you which I have, okay, which I have brought on the Egyptians. Say, for I am the Lord who heals you. We looked at the syntax error and that construction there, right? Say, I am the Lord who heals you. Hallelujah. And we say that word heal is the word Rapha. Rapha. A doctor. One who cures. Right? Who heals you. So God wants to be seen as the healer. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. God wants to be seen as the healer. You know, an interesting thing about this teaching on healing is on the fact that, see, healing is a subject matter in scripture that
everyone needs to pay attention to.
Because
one point at one point or the other, you need healing for yourself.
Hallelujah. Or for someone around you. Don't look up yourself or someone around you.
Hallelujah. And that's why we're looking at this today. So a word you use for a doctor, right? Right? That's the word Rapha. One who cures sickness.
He's not a specialist in a particular sickness, but he's an all-round specialist.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. God wants to be seen as the healer. As the healer.
And we began looking at that construction in verses 26. He says, I will not allow that which has come upon the Egyptians on you, for I am the God that healeth you. So another function of the Rapha is that you know, we looked at it last 2 weeks, even that it cures, right? When the man falls, it also preventive.
Hallelujah.
I will not allow.
Glory to God.
It's just like how you administer a vaccine to prevent an ailment. I will not allow.
Glory to God.
I will not allow. Prevent it.
Glory to God.
So this is how God wants you to see as the Rapha, the one who prevents sickness and heals the sick. He prevents it and heals the sick. So meaning if a man eventually falls ill, he heals him.
Hallelujah.
And glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. In Psalms 107, talk about in Psalms 103, we saw that what God gives out, right? What he serves is healing. Psalms 107 verse 21, quickly. A popular song we sing. 21. It says, did I call 21 now? Verse 20, it says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Say, he sent his word and healed them.
What does that mean?
He healed their sickness. So, God is interested in you being well.
You see that? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the psalmist liking the healing of our bodies to how they are saved from destruction.
Do you understand? So he likens sickness to oppression. That is the word in the Hebrew, oppression.
Glory to God. So sickness is oppression. God doesn't like sickness at all.
We're going to see that shortly.
Hallelujah. Amen. God doesn't, first of all, we've seen that God doesn't serve sickness, he serves healing. There are some people that know, there are some people who pray and say God should punish their enemies with sickness.
Glory to God.
God doesn't do that. God doesn't serve sickness. No, he serves healing.
Glory to God.
He doesn't serve sickness, he serves healing. Some people think God punishes them with sickness. God doesn't punish people with sickness.
Hallelujah. I shared the story of a friend who went together to pray for someone, and I was about to lay my hands, the guy said, sir, go and return the money you stole the church before you will be healed. I was like, interesting.
Hallelujah.
I couldn't even lay hands anymore. Say, so God, return the money you stole in church.
That God is dealing with you for stealing money. God doesn't serve. Now, neither am I saying that stealing, God have us stealing, or God likes you to steal. No, I'm not saying stealing is good, but God wouldn't serve you sickness.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has dealt with
that act of sin. God has dealt with sin on the cross. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God wouldn't serve you sinless because you stole the church. Do you see? That is a wrong belief system. There are people who think the reason why they are sick is because God is dealing with them. Because of what they've done. No. Ah, I remember my past life, someone will be saying. Maybe what is happening to me today is because God is trying to deal with me based on what I've done in the past. No, God doesn't do that. God wants you to disassociate him from sickness. He says, I am the Rapha. Hallelujah. Look at the children of Israel. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe. The Bible calls them that they were disobedient, stubborn, heady, hardened, stiff-necked, wicked. Exodus 6, they didn't believe. Exodus 6 now. They didn't believe the words of Moses. Yet, God says, I am your Rapha. How about that? To a disobedient nation, he says, I am your healer. I will heal you of sicknesses. That this is God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? This is God. Those are things you need to see. Quickly open me to Genesis 20. Genesis 20. Yes, Abimelech, who was about to take Abraham's wife. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you Genesis 20? Look at verse 7. Now therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, speaking about Abraham, and he will pray for you, and you shall be. Did you see that? You shall be healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God doesn't serve sickness. He heals them. Are you following me? Are you following me? Have I shown us about the brazen serpent in this teaching? Have I? I guess I have. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I guess I should have. But the children of Israel. With their disobedience. I'm supposed to have. Okay. Numbers 21. Quickly. Mm-hmm. Away from verse 5 to 6. It says, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up of out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? So there is no food, no water, and our soul lutes with worthless bread. They were against God and against Moses. Do you understand me? They spoke evil words. Now look at verse 5. Verse 6. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they beat the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Now this is not actually, I've explained it, we've had a teaching of this. Why can I say God sent? It's not actually God that sent. Hallelujah. But God's inaction was condemned for action. Right? Right? Hallelujah. God didn't send any serpent to kill them. No. God wouldn't have done that. Are you following me? But a serpent bit them. So they had what we'll call an epidemic. Hallelujah. An epidemic. Many of them were dying. You know? And that is how some people see things like this. Remember when COVID-19 first came, people started saying, God is dealing with us. God is dealing with the world. capital where Ebola first broke out in, I guess it's Congo or thereabout. People said God decided to deal with them because of one lady that said some funny thing, and they accepted it, you know, that spoke against some pastors and things like that. So God decided to deal with the nation. You know, people still have that perception, that is human experience trying to explain God. Are you following me? People still have such one, this should be, this is God dealing with it, but it's not actually God. Hallelujah. God didn't send any snake to kill anybody. But what will God do? Look at what God did. Now, remember, they came against God. They spoke wrong words against God. Yet, God healed them. Hallelujah. To show you God cannot withstand sickness, cannot withstand anyone sick. Are you following me? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. God cannot. God doesn't. Doesn't want anyone sick. Glory to God. Someone said, if God wants to deal with a man, he will make sure to make the man come against a believer. The man will just have serious stroke. No, God doesn't do it. Hallelujah. It's not God. God doesn't. If anybody ever wronged me and said, because I wrong Pastor Smart, so God is dealing with me. You are lying. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? No. Look at Paul. Paul dealt with the children of Israel. Right, that's the children of Israel. To the children of God. He dealt with them mercilessly. He put them into prison. Made havoc. But yet, what was God's plan for him? That you should be saved. Hallelujah. God's plan for the sinner has never changed. It's the same plan he has for you that you have entered into. It's the same plan he has for them. Are you following me? Are you following me? That's God's pre-plan for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's plan from the beginning. All men to be saved. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. So God wants you to see him as the healer. So that means, if, because we say Jesus is the I am, that is, we can call Jesus the Rapha. Right? Right? When it says, I am the Lord that healed thee. Remember I told you it's tautology. It's actually, I am healed thee. Right? Right? Jehovah heals thee. Now, I am your healer. Now, if Jesus is that I am, which is I am, Asa, Aha, which means I will be what I will be. Right? I will be a man. So, if Jesus is God of the tabernacle, that means I will find him as the healer. Hallelujah. In the fourth gospel, I will find him as the healer. I will find Jesus as the healer. John 1 helps us in John 1:18. He said, no man has seen God at any time. He said, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He has explained him. So that means, in the fourth gospel, I will see God explained as the healer in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I will see my sin as the healer in Christ, in the fullness. So, in Acts of Apostles, Acts 10:38, Peter will say, how the Lord anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. Says, and with power he went about doing good. How the Lord anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. And with power he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So, we'll find him as the healer. We'll come to that shortly. Before I get to talk about that, we'll find him as the healer. We looked at Matthew 4 earlier on. Not today, earlier in the teaching. Right? Verse 23, it says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. So he is the healer. Hallelujah. We find him as the healer. So Peter will now say, he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So, quickly, We find Jesus in the synoptic show us that sickness is from the devil. Sickness is an oppression from the devil. Sickness is an oppression from the devil. Hallelujah. He will all who are oppressed of the devil. So God doesn't oppress. Satan does, and sickness oppresses. Are you following that? Sickness oppresses. Remember yesterday we began looking at the word predestination, right? It's not a predetermined end. Not a predetermined end that God has predetermined how everybody's going to die in this world. No, God didn't do that. Those people have that notion. Someone said, while we were having a deliberation about the recent military jet that actually crashed, President said, yeah, I wish this person knew that he was going to die like this. No, it's not all those kind of human thoughts that try to think, what if this guy now said, while he was talking, I said, talk. We went there too, we don't know how we will take die our dad. He says only God. God has already seen it ahead of time how we will take die our dad. You know what I'm like? No, not me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So some people have that notion, and God has determined that this one is going to die by hanging. So God has predetermined that this one will die by hanging. Come and hang yourself. I'm fulfilling God's plan. God has given man an option. But what is there is that for every action of man, man will face the consequence of his action. Hallelujah. Are you following me? You have an option. You have a will. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. So, Jesus shows us that sickness is from the devil, it's an oppression. And that you cannot separate sickness from the devil. And that is why last week we said, whenever there is a multitude, Jesus will be saying, you'll find out that he casted out demons. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like an outbreak. When there's an outbreak. An outbreak, there's always a demon there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you find that Jesus casted out demons. There, look at Mark 1 verse 3. Mark 1 3. Mark 1 32, not 3. Mark 1:32. Say, at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and casted out many demons. Hallelujah. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 39. But he said to them, let's go into the next town, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. And he was preaching in that synagogue throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Hallelujah. Casting out demons. Glory to God. Because you cannot separate our sickness. You cannot separate sickness from demons. The root of every sickness is a demon. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Glory to God. I remember I said something to Ross years back. We had a teaching along this line. Right? And I said to Ross that
When you see a medically impossible case, like for example, someone who is deaf and dumb and lame and blind, you don't know that they're doing. Right, already. Now, those are rare, serious symptoms. I follow you. The other guy said people don't have birth disorder. No. You can have birth disorder, but God gives it. Glory to God. I follow you. We're getting there today. Hallelujah. What I plan for us to do today, we'll get into more practical thoughts today. Amen. Amen. We're getting there. But when you find, and which we're going to see shortly, when you find such kind of medical unexplainable case, like somebody is blind and dumb and deaf. Have you seen that before? It's always a demon. It's always a demon. God wants me well. Say that to yourself. Hallelujah. So let's get to see some specific cases. Remember, we said sickness is demonic oppression. Look at Matthew 17. Matthew 17, quickly. Verses 15. It says, I'll come verse 14. Then, when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic. For he is an epileptic and suffers severely, but often falls into the fire and often into water. Epileptic. Did you see that? So I brought to your disciples, okay, verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Mark that word. From that very hour. We'll get to look at that. Hallelujah. The boy was cured. Epilepsy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What people call hereditary. What people call a hereditary. You know, some people call epilepsy hereditary. Look at how we're going to look at Mark's rendering in Mark 9. Mark 9, 22. Let's see how Mark will render that same event. Mark 9, 22. Mark was a bit more detailed. He says, and often he has thrown himself both into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You see, they have compassion. That is what mercy. Have mercy on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, we're coming to this now. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said in tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And Jesus saw that the people were running together. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter no more. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Because it is deaf and dumb spirit. Okay, already. So this is always a demon. Epilepsy. That people call hereditary. I've heard people say it's hereditary. It flows from the family. No. Hallelujah. Jesus shows us that it is no hereditary, it is demonic. Are you following me? So, I wrote something in my note. I said, hereditary doesn't mean it's not demonic influence. It's demonic. Hallelujah. So, if you look at Mark's account, Mark makes us see the principle that is at work. He says, if you believe,
All things are possible to him who believes. That is Jesus' word in verse 23. And the Father said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's all see that what is at work is what? Faith. What is at work is faith. Jesus spoke, and the woman believed. Remember, we said, faith begins when the will of God is known. So Jesus spoke. Hallelujah. If you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So that means God's will is known. Hallelujah. All things are possible to him that believes. Hallelujah. And the guy shouted, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Glory to God. Glory to God. Something that is key that I just saw. I'm going to take us back a bit. I'm going to take us back a bit. The Bible said he is a Rapha. We'll take us back to comfort. But I just saw it now. Now, he is a Rapha. So, now, he's a Rapha, and then his role as a Rapha is both curative and what? Preventive. Right? Right? Now, two things I need you to see. Look at all through the four gospels. Did you hear, ever hear, that any of these disciples was sick? All through the four gospels? No. Hallelujah. Preventing. Hallelujah. Preventing. The closest that was sick was Peter's mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law. Another person will be, like casted out demons from, will be Mary, right? But that was before she became a disciple. Over here, that difference. Any of his flock, will he hear any of that? Glory to God. Glory to God. Something very important to say. Amen. 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 So let's get back to where we were. Let's look at Matthew 9, verse 32. Matthew 9, verse 32. As they went out, behold, they brought him a man mute and demon possessed. Mute and demon possessed. They couldn't speak and demon possessed. And when the demon was casted out, the mute spoke, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never seen like this in Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, casted out demons from a dumb person. Look at Matthew 12:22. A similar case like the one I just spoke to that out now. Then one was brought to him who was demon possessed, blind and mute. Did you see that? Blind and mute. Blind and mute. Rare case. Hallelujah. And he healed him so that the blind and the mute man both spoke and saw. You see that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. He healed him. He casted out the demon. We know that in verse 24. The Pharisees came and said, he casted out demon by what? The spirit of Beelzebub. So that means he casted out the demon. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He casted out the demon. Then what do you? So we can therefore say the root of every sickness is the devil. The root of every sickness is the devil. Don't try to say, let's separate the devil from me. Let's look at it medically. Why are you separating the devil from it? You don't want to have problems or what?
You know, some people are afraid of the devil.
No,
hallelujah. I'm born to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. The devil is at the root of every sickness. Devils are the root of it. So, like we started last week, and we are doing right now, let's look at some specific healing cases of Jesus to see what was happening in the multitude. We just read in Mark 9:22-25. That word faith, right? Is if you believe, all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible to him that believes. Look at Matthew 9. I mean, look at Matthew 9 again. Matthew 9. Let's just go down to 27. Matthew 9, 27. When Jesus departed from them, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said, yes, Lord. And he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you.
Did you see that?
According to your faith. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. According to your faith.
Did you see that?
Jesus didn't say according to my faith. According to his own faith. No, he said according to your faith. Hallelujah. So that means that the principle at work in the multitude in healing in the multitude is what? Faith. Faith is at work. Faith. So Jesus spoke. Listen again, Jesus spoke. What? You believe I'm able to do this? So that is to direct their faith well, right? Hallelujah. Because faith begins when God's will is known. Do you believe I can do this? And they said yes. Glory to God. Let it be done according to your faith. To your faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Another is will be Luke 17. Luke 17, quickly. Verses 19. A brief background was Jesus met 10 lepers and he asked them to go show themselves to the priest. And one came back. And Jesus in verse 17 said, where they're not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made thee well. Did you hear? Faith is at work. Your faith has made thee whole. Your faith has made thee whole. So that means in healing, the recipient plays a role in receiving their healing. Jesus' audience played a role in receiving their healing. Your faith has made thee well. Let it be done to you according to your faith. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. According to your faith. So faith is important. Now, listen. Faith here is not faith for salvation. Are you following me? Faith here is not faith for salvation. Faith for salvation is believing in Jesus as the Lord.
Right? Right? As the Lord, as God in human form, as the Savior. Glory to God. Believing that He died and resurrected, that is faith for salvation. But this faith here is faith for healing. Glory to God. Listen to this. I want to say two things that you need to catch. Faith for healing is not faith for salvation. And that is why we saw that even those people who he healed were still the same people that shouted, "Crucify him." Did you see that? They were the same people that shouted, "Crucify." He healed them. Look at Marcus in Luke. You saw Marcus? Hallelujah. The centurion, one of the soldiers that came to carry him. After he was done placing back his ears, his ear and rested him. Are you following? Glory to God. So, to make you see that faith for healing is not faith for what? Salvation. Glory to God. Glory to God. They're not the same. They're not the same. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Okay, I'm going to keep this on and bless you. Let's stay with this. Faith for healing and faith for salvation are not the same. The heart of the man, Okay. Faith for healing is not faith for salvation. But faith for in the faith for salvation is the faith for healing. Glory to God. So that means, listen, Jesus wants me to see him as the healer. For a believer, Jesus wants you to trust him as the healer. You can also you believe God. You believe in Jesus as a Lord and Savior. You trust him for your salvation and can't trust him for your health. Hallelujah. If you trust him for salvation, that sure means you go trust him for your health too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus' audience plays a role in how they receive healing. And that will be what? By their faith. Let's see two occasions that stands out. Remember, we say faith will thrive where the will of God is known. Or faith begins when the will of God is known. Faith does not act in a vacuum. The devil does unbelief act in a vacuum. Let's look at Matthew 8. Matthew 8, quickly. We're getting into the specifics now. Matthew 8. Glory to God. Matthew 8, verse 10. Now there was a centurion who came to meet Jesus for his servant's sake. Not him, his servant. In verse 7, he told Jesus how his servant was paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the centurion in verse 8 said to Jesus, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority." Look at what he said. Now, what this man says here is, it's not anything new. No. He only applied what his military authorities to, because he believes what Jesus has is authority over sickness. Hallelujah. So he just said, "I am a man too." Look at what he says. He says, "I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me." And said to this one, "Go," and he goes. And this one, "Come," and he comes. And to my servant, "Do this," and he does it. Then Jesus heard it and marveled. Did you see that? How will he marvel? This is the same principle that Jesus has worked in healing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And marveled and said, to those who followed, "Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith
not even in Israel. Hallelujah. Are you seeing this? Such good faith. In Matthew 15 again, it speaks to someone else. And it says, and again he was marveled at their faith. They haven't seen such good faith. Remember, the man only spoke, right? And he said, I haven't seen such great. Okay, follow me. The man only spoke and said, I haven't seen such good faith. Look at Matthew 15. Quite a lengthy read. I mean, quite lengthy, but I'm going to shorten it. Now we have the Syrophoenician woman. The daughter was sick. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Was sick. Demon possessed. And he came to meet Jesus and said, you know, my daughter is sick. And Jesus said, they had a long conversation. He said, I've come into the Lordship of Israel. And the woman came and worshipped and said, Lord, help me. And Jesus said to him, it's no good to give children's bread to dogs. Hallelujah. Verse 27. And she said, look at verse 27. Yes, Lord. Yet the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Yeah. Then Jesus answered and said to her, oh woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you desire. Mark that word, desire. Hallelujah. So faith for healing is a desire. A strong desire. Hallelujah. Something to actually note about this too is that if you look at the centurion, you look at this woman, they were not the ones who were sick. Were everyone sick? No. The people who were sick were not even around. Glory to God. They were not the ones sick. But yet they showed a strong desire to receive healing. So that means I could receive healing for a loved one, for someone close to me, who might not be around. I can receive healing for the person, and the person will be healed. What does it take? Faith is strong desire. Strong desire. Hallelujah. Jesus said to her, great is your faith. He said to the centurion, he said, I have not seen such great faith. No, not in Israel. I have not seen such great faith. How did Jesus see their faith? How did he see their faith? He saw their faith in their words. Are you following me? He saw their faith in their words. So faith can't be seen. Are you following me? Faith can be seen. Faith can be seen in our words. Faith can be seen in our words. Strong will. Most times, what some people say, listen, most times what some people say when they are sick is funny. What you just see is unbelief. You know, Jesus Christ knew, look at another example. You know, when he came to his own, look at Mark 6. Mark 6. He came to Nazareth. I want you from verse 3. Look at what he began to say. He said, is this not the carpenter's son, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simeon? And his sisters not yet with us, so they were offended at him. You see, when Jesus said to them, a prophet is without honor except in his own country, among his own people. Verse 5, and he could not do any mighty works. Verse 6, and they marveled because of their unbelief. Listen up, unbelief. So Jesus still saw unbelief. How? In their words.
And this is the somebody who is believing God. He said, "I believe God for him." See, let me tell you something. I heard this from E.W. Kenyon that said it, but it came more to my life when I listened to Pastor Sherman. He said something like, he said, "There is something that looks like faith, but it's not faith. It looks like faith, but it's not faith. And it's dangerous. You know what it is? It's called mental assent. Mental assent. It looks like faith, but it's not faith. When, for your words is not in line." Hallelujah. That's why they know how to confess faith when they are with other brethren. It's called mouth making. When we see your face truly, is when nobody is there. Hallelujah. When people, I've heard someone address sickness, I said, "This is my sickness. This is my sickness. No, this is my sickness that used to worry me. This is my sickness. What is yours will come to you. It's not the cause, not swear, to come to you is your sickness. You have privatized it, you have made it your property. Glory to God. You don't say that. You don't use the such words, "This is my sickness." No! And yet you are saying, "I believe God for healing." Your words is not in tangent with your actions. Are you following me? Are you following me? This is my thing. No. Glory to God. Glory to God. You say the right words. Faith is expressed in words. We're going to see one shortly. Faith is expressed in words. In words. I remember going to pray for, we were having a prayer for liberation. And I usually do minister healing. Like, that prayer for liberation is usually a whole full week. So, 2 days, a whole full week, we just have a prayer for liberation. That was years back. And then I'll use 2 days to teach on healing. Then the other days, we'll go out, right? We'll go out and then we'll lay hands on the sick. So, I get this was, can I say one more thing? Around 2009, 2010. So, after our apostle for liberation, two brothers, they came to meet me and they told me about one of their family friends who was sick and was having a kidney issue. So, my legs were swollen. So, I quickly went there to meet her. I said, "Let's go. I'll go teach it." So, I went there, I met with the lady, and my usual person, I would now teach concerning faith, because I'm teaching her now. I taught faith. Where? I would take my time and teach faith. I taught faith. And I laid hands on her. Tell her that. I laid hands on her. And as you believe, she did. I said, "I laid hands on her, so that to stand up." I held her hands. I guess Pastor Lenji too was there. So I held his hand. I said his hand. Her hands. And then she stood up. And then we were practicing the walk. You know, she was trying to walk. And she was happy. Are you following me? She was happy. Very happy. "Oh, I'm healed. There, when I was about to leave, I done told her something. Something we'll get yet going to see again. Hallelujah. I answered that thing. I've learned not to say that again for a while, but because I knew I needed her faith to be strong for him. So I told her, "The pains are going to come back." How many of you have heard me say things like this? The pains is going to come back. But you're going to keep your faith strong. Right? Right? Well, and then we've had a teaching concerning this, the kinds of faith, big faith, small faith, strong faith, weak faith. So the faith are going to come. But you know what? You're going to keep your faith high. Right? Just keep on saying, "I am healed."
If the paying is high, let your pitch be high. I am he. Keep shouting, I am he. Keep saying I am he because you are he. Do you understand? It depends upon, but keep saying you are he. Someone one day in school said, "That is, I'm doing Christian Science." How would I tell you that it's Christian Science in the sense that I'm already telling you what will happen? So that he said some nonsense, but I don't care. I held on to that teaching for a long time. Keep saying it. It will come back. Keep saying it. So that day, I guess, was on a Saturday. So I met them when I went to do my follow-up with those brothers, not with the lady, with the brothers. So I asked, "How will she do it?" Says, "Man, need to see her legs. Her legs are already going down." When I left there, listen, because we are getting at something now. Remember, I told you that we're getting practical today. Now, when I left there, the leg was this one. But she was already needing it to move. It's not that the pains were already dried and gone completely. No. She was still in the pains, but it was reduced. Are you following? Learn to know that sign from the Word of God. But she was moving. The pains were reduced. I was there. I knew how the pains were when I met her. I knew how it was when I was leaving. But it was reduced. And I thought that the legs are going to go down. So a day after, I asked, "How is she?" I don't want to mention her name, but a lot of people know her. Now, how is she? They said she's fine. That mom is going to be there to see. And the legs were already reducing. Do you understand? Remember when Jesus cursed. I don't want to say that. When Jesus said those words to the fig tree. When he said those words to the fig tree. Remember the fig tree did not dry up once. Boom. But when they passed in that day, it was dried up to the roots. Right? So most times, when it comes to healing, she must understand the fact that faith, I'll get to that. Now, you must understand the fact that when hands are laid on you, the power of God has been transferred. Are you following me? You know, some people are waiting to receive electric shock. No! Some people are waiting when they live. No! When hands are laid on you, when words are spoken to you concerning that event, the power of God has been transferred. Are you following? Glory to God. Glory to God. You must be aware. And that your awareness, that your faith will not be expressed in your words. Are you following me? Will not be expressed where? Your words. So I always say to people, see, if you come back, and if he comes back, your words must not change. So I told that your words must not change. So on the Monday, I asked, "How is she in the morning?" I said, "Man, you need to come and see her. That is, she's looking, that the legs are normal. She's now fine. She's now just within 2 days." And I told them, "I'm coming to see her on Wednesday." This was on a Monday. I said, "I'll come and see her on a Wednesday." Because then I was teaching. So I usually teach Mondays, Tuesdays, and Friday. So I have Wednesday and Thursday to myself. So I said, "Okay, I'm coming to see her on Wednesday." Because I wanted to see her so that we can rejoice together. I said, "Wow, we are here now." You know that she was having a kidney issue, and then she was sickle cell or something like that. And you see how she was blown. So, always funny. On that Wednesday morning, the people of the disciple went to school. So when they were coming back by 2, I just saw one of them. And I asked, "How far?" "We are going there this evening." And I said, "Ah." "I did not tell you, sir." "They rushed her to hospital." I said, "How?" "But he said she was better." "Right?" "He said she was better." I said, "Yes, oh, she was good, oh. She was very fine. But last night, in the night, the pain that you said will come came." He said, "The pain came." and me quickly. And I asked, what did she say? Because, you know, I have told them. I said that thing very well. I said it to them. Even after that day, that day will come, but she has to say, I am him. And the pain is high, she's shouting at me. And I'm shouting, yeah! Ah! Shout, I'm him! Keep saying, hallelujah. The intensity of the pain, the intensity of the confession. They say, I'm you. Say, I'm you. You see, many a times, I get this also from Macantis. He says, many a times, believers need to understand that the rejoicing that you have, that you do in church, when we gather, the major place where you need it most is when you are home alone. You learn to practice it. Hallelujah! Not just when you are in church, just as much as, oh! It's not when we are home. Hallelujah! We practice when we are together, but you need it much more when you are alone. How often do you just laugh? Just alone. You know, your love doesn't mean everything is going on too fine for you. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean everything is going on 100% smooth for you. Things might be rough and you're just. Hallelujah. That's who you are. Glory to God. I said, what did she say? She just said, the guy was afraid to tell me. And I said, they say she was shouting, I don't die, yo! That was what she was shouting! She was shouting, I don't die! It's not a joke! Immediately! Because I knew the gravity of that word. They said, she shouted, I don't die, no teach. They took her to hospital, rejected her in that hospital, took her, she shouted, I don't die. Immediately, I told the guy, follow me, I ran home. Carried my phone. I said, let's go to the hospital. I said, because I knew the gravity of that word. But lo and behold, before we got to here, before we got to what do you call this gate? TWD gate. Before we got there, they called him and said, the lady passed on. Gravity of the word. I don't die. You don't say such words when you expect healing. You don't say such words. I broke down into tears. The guy saw me crying. I broke down into tears. And then I told him, you don't say such words. And you expect healing. You don't say words like, this my sickness. And you expect healing. No, you change the words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can I hear you give a story about himself? He had a deformed heart. He had a deformed heart, had a heart condition. And at a certain point, they then told him he had few more days to live. That is, he just had a short time to live. And all of a sudden, and then the parents now invited a Methodist pastor to come and pray with him. So he was happy that at least a pastor come and pray for him and he'll be well. It was at a very young age, having a deformed heart. In fact, I read, that was years back. I have to read more about that heart condition, that you don't exceed a certain age. And it was already at that age. I believe it. And he made him bedfast. Kenny Hagin couldn't walk, couldn't do anything because of that condition. So when the pastor came, the pastor just told him, young boy, very soon it's going to be over. And he was rejoicing, thinking, very soon, I'll be out of this thing. You understand? So very soon it's going to be over. And the man left where he was in the room and went to meet his parents in the morning. So him being inquisitive, wanted to know what the pastor was about to say to mommy and grandma. I'm going to say to mommy and grandma. He said he came out of the bed and crawled because he wasn't here, he couldn't hear. He affected his hearing, and he crawled. Just to listen. And what he heard the pastor say to the mother is, what is his best song? Ask him, what is the best song? What is his best song? What song does he want them to play for him on his funeral?
He said, all hope just dashed down on his funeral. And he came to me. He said, the mom was crying profusely. Now, I asked, what song would you want us to play for you on your funeral? And he said, what is the need? By then, I'll be long gone. Hallelujah. But you know, reality dawned on him. When the pastor's gone, mama's gone, grandma is gone, she was alone. And then he picked up his Bible. Hallelujah. And he went down, he said, when he opened his Bible, all he could see was Mark 11, 24. I mean, Mark 11, 24. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And he just kept echoing it. Just kept saying it. Hallelujah. He kept saying it. He said, at some intervals, he passed up, but he kept saying it. He kept saying it. Hallelujah. He kept saying the word of God. He put the word of God on his lips. Hallelujah. He put it on. He didn't know anything. So just that one back, but he kept it on his lips. Hallelujah. Then he was healed. He was healed and healed completely. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When it comes to faithful healing, you know what you just say once and say, I said it once. No. Hallelujah. It's something you have to keep saying. Are you following me? You have to keep saying. In the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the sickness, you keep saying it and healing. Oh, I have the healing power of God. Walk in me. Hallelujah. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. Just like Kenneth Hagin, he kept saying it. He just put the word on his lips. I kept saying it. I kept saying it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I've seen someone before who they prayed for to be healed. Prayed for. And then he left. Instead of them saying, oh, I received my healing, oh, thank you, Lord, I received my healing. He quickly dashed the hole. When the person was home, if you know what the person was saying, the person said, ah, how quickly take my medicine before he said, go kill me here. Somebody who comes and he received healing. Look at his words. Let me give my medicine before sickness, go kill me here. Did that guy really receive? You only had mental access. I follow you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Look at that woman. This is how finished woman. The doctor was sick. Jesus wasn't. Jesus. I love that scenario. Jesus was telling her, reason why you will not do it. And the woman kept saying, hallelujah. She kept, it was seen in her words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not that Jesus was not willing to heal her. Does that know? But Jesus was actually directing her words well. Hallelujah. To see her faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And all Jesus, when Jesus stopped, he said, great is your faith. And that same hour, the daughter was made well. The centurion guys did the same thing. They directed the power of God with their words, with their faith. So we can say faith directs the power of God. Faith directs the power of God. Glory to God. Look at Matthew 9:18. Open the Matthew 9:18, Mark 5:22. One of these, look at them together. Matthew 9:18 first. It's the same story. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, faith for healing is not one-off. So, it's what you keep saying. You want to keep saying, hallelujah. Glory to God. You keep saying it. I love what Pastor Shelby said. He said, you can have days in a week when you set out to just speak words of healing. Just day, just take out the day in a week, and then today, 24 hours, I'll be speaking words of healing. Genesis, you can. Hallelujah. Vital. You don't need to be sick to speak words of healing. You don't need to be sick. You don't need to be sick. Hallelujah. You don't need to be sick. You just say, hallelujah. Thank God, Lord. I'm sound in my health. Oh, the power of God is working in me. I'm sound in my health. My body will not fail. Hallelujah. My body will not fail. Oh, my eyes will not fail. My ears will not fail. Oh, I'm sound. I'm sound today. I'm sound. Hallelujah. You keep it up. You keep it up. Hallelujah. God is my healer. God is my healer. Glory to God. I walk in healing. You keep that positive confession. Keep that positive confession. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at verses 18, Matthew 9. He said, while he spoke, while he spoke these things, behold, a ruler came and worshipped and said, my daughter had just died. My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hands on her and she will live. There's something I need you to see. Let's read Mark's account first. Mark 5. Verse 21. And Jesus came. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by the boat to the other side, the great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the seashore. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Come, lay your hands on her, that she might be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Did you see that? People were touching him. Hallelujah. Now a certain woman had a blood flow for 12 years. 12 years. That blood flow is called hemorrhage. Hallelujah. She had, this is not menstrual cycle, this is 12 years hemorrhage. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 12 years. Blood flow. And it was a severe sickness. Hallelujah. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Rather grew worse. 12 years. Remember last week we saw the woman who was bent over for 18 years, right? 12 years. Now she heard about Jesus. Remember, what did she hear about Jesus? Healing Jesus, right? Right? She heard about Jesus. Remember, faith will thrive on words, right? On information. Faith does not function in a vacuum. So she heard about Jesus. She didn't hear the wrong thing about Jesus. If she had put her ears to listen to the wrong thing about Jesus, she wouldn't have received, she wouldn't have known he's a healing Jesus. Hallelujah. She didn't. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Mind what you hear. Because your what you hear directs what you say. Hallelujah. Mind what you hear. Especially about concerning ministers. Some people get so close to some pastors, get so close to ministers, and they begin to misbehave. Or they begin to show familiarity. That is why one of the I don't want to use a certain word for it, but one of the positions you can be around a pastor that is delicate, where you need to be very, very, where you need to watch it, is having a pastor as a husband or as a wife, or having a pastor as a brother or sister.
You know, you can just easily switch to the flesh. Hope you know that. You can just easily become familiar. Because there are times you have to know this is my friend. And several people know that he's my pastor. Do you know that? And then a mother or father to a pastor. He saw this place, he saw this place, and this place he saw before he ever became pastor. Yeah, you'll be my brother before you get called. You know, some people are just, but you know, that is a delicate position to be. Hallelujah. Why did I even get here? Glory to God. So, what she had, right? Now, let's go to 27. For she said, now, the way the Greek put it is that for she has, like, she did not say it once, sometimes she kept saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I first saw it in Kenny Higgins' material. He kept saying. He did not say it once and went to sleep. She kept saying. She kept saying, if I touch the hem of this guy, I know I will make it. She didn't say it for one day. No. No. Hallelujah. Neither did she hear about Jesus and quickly saw Jesus. No. But I heard about Jesus for weeks, for months, and she kept saying, I know if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. I know if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. She kept saying it for weeks, for days. She was still having the hemorrhage. She was still having the blood flow. Hallelujah. The blood, that kind of condition is the kind of condition that you might just be walking and then you just pass out because you have drainage of blood. She will need pants of blood. Hallelujah. She will need people donating blood to her. She will not be attended to by a private hospital, but by a general hospital, especially. I believe. She will need more blood. She will be sucking people's blood. You know what I mean? She will be a regular person that they will be donating blood to consistently. Hallelujah! For 12 years! Imagine 12 years you're having such condition. She might have been saying it and then she's. And yet, she will pass out and wake up. I know if I touch the hem of this man, I know I'll be made well. I know if I touch the hem of this man, I know I'll be made well. I know! If I touch the hem of this man, I'll be made well. Hallelujah! They will call her, Yara Shida! I know! If I touch the hem of this man, I'll be made well. Come and watch Telemundo. I know. If I touch the hem of this garment, I'll be made well. Hallelujah. Come on, let's dig. I know if I touch the hem of this garment, I'll be made well. Come on, let's gossip. I know if I touch the hem of this garment, that is not my business. I know if I touch the hem of this garment, I'll be made well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. She kept her confession alive. And you know what? One day. Jesus was passing by. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus was passing by. That was her day. Hallelujah. That was her day. That was her day. You know what? Your confession, your words will always direct the power of God towards you. With her words, she was able to direct God's path. Hallelujah. Jesus passed by her street that day. Jesus passed by her street that day. Imagine that was the day she didn't stop talking about it. Maybe that was the day she didn't say, I want to just go and watch the movie. She would be. Hallelujah. But she was consistent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So her faith in that is seen in her words directed the power of God to her street that day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And what did she do? If I be told the devil of God is not, I will be made well immediately. Right? Right? She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Hallelujah. And verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, who touched me? For virtue left me. Hallelujah. Who touched my clothes? Glory to God. But the disciples say, ah, Master, I don't know who touched you. People are here now. People have been talking on you. That means, possibly, possibly, this same clothes that she touched, that she got healed. You know, it's the same clothes that they used when Jesus was to be crucified, that they used to cast lots. Right? So the same clothes they taught to cast lots. Are you following me? Glory to God. Because the same clothes that people were following, were touching it. How overseas designers? People were touching the clothes. Are you following me? People were touching the clothes. Overseas designers. Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy. Ah! This designer! Did you get it? But you know what? They didn't get anything. There would have been sick people there that were just touching me. There would have been people there who had loved ones. I said, ah, you know what? Today, when Jesus was found, I just stood by his side and I took selfie. Exactly. Oh boy, now 50 billion crew that will not take creature. And they had people sick as well. Are you following? There are people who had parents who had themselves, people that need healing, but they just touched the old boy. See, Jesus the healer. Do you understand? And nothing happened to them. But the woman came with purpose. And the purpose was seen in her words. Glory to God. Possibly, the disciples would have been helping him wash that same clothes. Possibly a dry cleaner would have been dry cleaning that clothes, and that dry cleaner might have been suffering from sickness. And yet, you only saw it as normal clothes that he would dry clean and iron. I didn't see anything beyond the normal clothes. But someone saw, someone said, if I touch the hem of his garment, it even said, if I grab his garment, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be new for it. And that was what she did. And the power of God was directed at me. Jesus said, who touched me? Knowing that power had left him, he said, who touched me? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So that means I can direct the power of God with my words. I can direct the power of God with my words. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. She did just say it once, she kept saying it. So faith for healing is something we need to keep saying. We need to keep saying it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Never give up in talking about it. But the Bible will tell us about a young lady that came to Sardis. She was just teaching. And the lady came with a desire. Strong desire. And she said, Pastor is going to lay hands on me today and I'm going to be healed. Listen, she said, Pastor is going to lay hands on me today and I'm going to be healed. Pastor's going to lay hands on me today and I'm going to leave. And Pastor Shefu came to that meeting saying he's not going to lay hands on anybody today. Can you see? The person said, Pastor's going to lay hands on me today and I'll be healed. And Pastor Shefu said, he said it right to himself, I'm not going to lay hands on anybody today. Are you following me? But while he was preaching and explaining like this, just explaining like this, he got to the sister. No, no more explanation that I'll be around. And I'm just standing and I'm just departing. He didn't touch her to pray for her. No, we're not talking at them just to rest and talk. But the moment he touched her like this, while he was talking, the lady said, yes, I'm him. I hate following you. And the lady was him. What just happened? She then, her words directed the power of God to her. Hallelujah. Even when the pastor was not willing to lay hands. Are you following me? Your words always direct the path of God your way. Your words of faith will always direct the path of God your way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I keep my faith talk alive. I keep my faith talk alive. I keep it alive. I keep it alive. Something I needed to see quickly. And that is where we will begin to round up. It says in verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Remember, Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. Jairus had faith. You listen. So Jesus hearing of Jairus, when Jesus spoke to Jairus, what did Jesus say? Let's go. Right? Jesus was on his way there. That is, he saw his faith. Let's go. Your daughter will live. Right? Right? Your daughter will be fine. So Jesus was on his way there. Then, when on their way there, the woman with the issue of blood happened. So Jesus spent time. Glory to God. Jesus spent time with the woman. In fact, if you read Matthew's account or Luke's account, Jesus asked her, and then she spoke. Right? Jesus asked her question. And then she spoke, and then she narrated how she has been saved. Hallelujah. If I touch the hem of his garment, I know how he made well. Hallelujah. So while that was happening, a news came to Jairus. Your daughter don't die. Listen, your daughter is dead. Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master? Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the master? That is, they saw death as a hopeless condition. Are you following? As a hopeless condition. As the end. What's it? Don't worry him again, John. Let's go and buy coffee.
But look at what Jesus said immediately. Hallelujah. As soon as Jesus hit the wall, that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Are you seeing it? Meaning, what it means in the Greek is, don't allow doubt set in. Stop it. Deal with doubt in his tracks. Are you following me? Deal with not believe immediately. Don't allow it stay. Glory to God. Jesus wasn't the one who needed it. She was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to see the whole thread. Who always has the faith for healing? Is it the one who ministers or the one who is being ministered to? The one who is being ministered to. Hallelujah. That needs faith for the healing. Or the one who is standing in for the one to be ministered to. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just a second, let me get something else right now. Hallelujah. So he said, fear not. Fear not, only believe. Fear not, only believe. That goes a long way to show that doubt shall secure the power of God. Shall secure it. A little second of doubt. A little second of doubt shall secure the power of God. A little second. A little second. I just said, don't be afraid. Only believe. So what the man needs is faith. Believe. Not mental assent. Mental assent is when you are saying, I believe, I believe. And when everybody is gone, you are afraid. Then begin to confess here.
So if this is how I'm going to die, this is how I'm going to leave this world.
No!
That's what you're like that.
Glory to God.
No, keep your faith alive. I keep faith alive.
Hallelujah. 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 If the pain is high, my faith is higher. I keep faith alive. I keep faith alive. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Let's go on our feet, if not to thank God.